Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Your Ben Jarofsky Show. Oh, what a week it was. Brought to you by Resignations. It's just moments away. But first, let's thank our sponsors. Sponsors like SEIU Healthcare, Illinois, Indiana, the Chicago Federation of Labor, and the Chicago Reader. ChicagoReader.com for all things there is to know the city of Chicago, where to go, what to do, what to eat, what to drink, what to smoke, what to think politically. So many questions will be answered if you are a clueless Chicagoan. Go check it out, ChicagoReader.com, and subscribe to the Reader. And you can be a binhead. If you like this program and you're like, man, I want to help these two buffoons out. Well, you can. You can. ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. J-O-R-A, V as in victory, S-K-Y. There you can become a bin head. It's a three-tier system. You can either be in the alley, the avenue, or you can be living large on Binney Boulevard. What does that mean, living large? I don't know. What means whatever you want. Go check it out, ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. Also, there you'll find our endless archive of episodes, over 1,000 episodes of The Ben Jarofsky Show, and you'll get some information, and maybe you'll buy the latest book from Ben Jarofsky. It's his greatest hits. Ben, you have a song of the week.
Ooh.
Last week we forgot. This week, no, Frank, we did not forget. We have the song of the week before we get going. A tradition here on the Ben Jarofsky Show where our host just falls flat on his face in the beginning of the show. And it's all, you know, it's all good from there. Your song of the week, On Broadway by the Drifters.
We did this one. Remember I said, which version do you want? The Drifters version or the George Benson version?
Oh, okay.
And everybody was really impressed.
All right, we got 10 people on the live stream chat. You've done that one already. Let's see if you're listening on the live stream right now. Pick a new song of the week. We've already done this one, apparently.
Well, no, I could do the guitar solo again from George Benson. Remember that one?
Oh, boy, sounds like every guitar solo you do. Live stream chat, where are you at? Give us a song of the day. Oh, we lost one person on the live stream chat. They're like, oh, I don't want, what the hell is this show?
I'll sing a Beatles song. Yesterday, oh, my troubles seem
You're going to get a copyright strike on us, all right? The Beatles, they love suing people. All right, I guess we don't have a song of the day. So, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and pick one. Yeah, Frank, good call. He can't remember. He does so many songs of the day, he can't remember. All right, Aerosmith and Run DMC, Walk This Way is your song
of
the week.
Walk this way, talk this way, or just give me a kiss, wow, wow. That's a guitar solo. Wow, wow, wow.
The Ben Jarofsky Show starts now. It is Friday, May 7th. And live from my apartment in his attic, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show's Oh, What a Week It Was, brought to you by Resignations. And now your host. Well, I hope he's not resigning. Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
Hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this. I actually agree with David Brooks Friday, and here's why. Because I actually agree with David Brooks for once in my life. There's a song, D, for once in my life. I won't let sorrow hurt me. Come on, D. Anyway, forget it. I forgot I even mentioned it. David Brooks is the wishy-washy, mostly right-wing columnist for the New York Times. And mostly I just shake my head in disbelief at the stuff he writes. He, like, his bizarre affection that he has for Mayor Rahm and Governor Chris Christie. We'll never understand that. But you know what? This is my week for agreeing with people of different political persuasions. So yesterday I tipped my hat to Congresswoman Liz Cheney of the Cheney family. Never thought I'd be seeing eye to eye with a Cheney, but I have to admit her column in the Washington Post where she denounced Trump and Trumpism and Republicans feeling forced to repeat the big lie resonated with me, except for at the end. At the end, she had to prove her credentials to Republicans. And she started going ripping woke culture. Oh, God, there you go. But you know what? We're not going to agree on everything, Liz Cheney. Anyway, so David Brooks wrote a column, Our Herd Immunity Failure. And he talks about, we're going to get into this a little bit, I'm sure, with some of the news items that Dennis has to go over. But he talks about our inability as a country to like come together in something so basic as to get a vaccine to prevent us from getting COVID, spreading COVID. He summarizes it this way. He talks about there's the only person you can trust is yourself mentality, and has a tendency to cause people to conceive of themselves as individuals and not as citizens. Derek Thompson of The Atlantic recently contacted more than a dozen people who are refusing to get the vaccine, and they often use an argument you've probably heard too. I'm not especially vulnerable. I may have already gotten the virus. If I get it in the future, it won't be that bad. Why should I take a risk on the experimental vaccine? These are the things that people tell themselves to convince themselves of stuff. Everyone's thinking, of course, that the reason to get the vaccine is not so much about yourself, but maybe you don't want to spread it to other people. Oh, no. To that list of why people won't get the vaccine, I'll add another one. Everybody's so smart. It's like Chicago politicians. They're so much smarter than everybody else. They think they'll outfox us, and then they end up getting, indicted or something like that. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that as well. Anyway, David Brooks, a column worth reading. Never thought those words would come out of my mouth. But that's D. It's open-minded week on the Ben Jarofsky Show.
Wow.
I agree. Liz Cheney, David Brooks. You know who's next?
Johnny Cass.
Yes. Jump shot Johnny Cass. Millennials. Johnny Cass is not the singer of A Boy Named Sue. Always have to point this out, D. They go, oh, you don't like Johnny Cash? I love Johnny Cash. It's Johnny Cass, the right wing. Far right. He's so far right, he falls off the earth. That's my sound effect for Johnny Cass falling off the earth because he goes so far to the right. I'm like Kyrie Irving. The earth is flat, Dennis. If you go so far to the right, you fall off. You didn't know that? I don't know what he hits. Like if you fall off the earth and you got to hit something, or do you just keep falling? Oh, I'm falling. I'm Johnny Cass. One day, Johnny, you're going to write something. And I'm going to go, you know, good column, Johnny. But that day hasn't come. Yeah,
I hope I'm long gone when that happens.
I'll now do my imitation of Johnny Cass. Mega. Anyway, a lot of love for Johnny Cass. All right. We got a great show today, everybody. Oh, what a week. Or something like that.
Oh, great.
Get it right.
Great. Oh, what a week it was. It's called.
I always forget the it was part. Yes. With the man, the myth, the legend. The pride and joy of all Illinois. The man that Johnny Cass and David Brooks call the doctor. With all the news of the week, Dr. Deke.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? I'm Dennis. That's my name. Oh, what a week it was. Oh, what a week. Not that hard to remember. All right. Up first, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Let's begin with phase one.
Actually, let's not, Governor. Let's not. The following comes from the Chicago Sun-Times and Mitchell Armantrout. With coronavirus case numbers heading in the right direction, Governor J.B. Pritzker on Thursday announced that he will lift more COVID-19 business restrictions across Illinois next week. And barring another surge of infections, he'll let the state fully reopen by June 11th. Now, with Illinois' coronavirus testing positivity rate back down to 3%, its lowest point in 6 weeks, and more than 60% of the population at least partially vaccinated, the state is in line to get what Pritzker has been calling for weeks, the bridge, by May 14th, a.k.a. 1 week from today. But hey, not so fast, Bulls fans, because earlier this week, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot announced different plans for the city of Chicago.
Oh,
to stay home, save lives.
Wait a minute. So we're back to stay home? Now, judging by our mayor's sense of urgency to get schools open and teachers and students back in those damn classrooms as fast as possible a couple of months back, you would think that the mayor would be on board for the city to open up ASAP, as J.B. Pritzker's talking about. Well, strangely, that's not the case. Lightfoot said that she's aiming to fully open Chicago for business by the 4th of July. Yes, in familiar fashion, the governor and the Chicago mayor seem to be on two different pages. And we'll talk more on that shortly. But first, let's talk about what next week will look like for the rest of Illinois. Illinois museums, amusement parks, and zoos will be able to increase capacity from 25% to 60%, while festivals and other general admission outdoor events will be able to seat 30 people per 1,000 square feet. Additionally, meetings, conferences, and conventions will see their capacity limit increase to either 1,000 people or 60%, whichever is less, with the same applying to theaters and performing arts venues. Now, I'm going to pause it right there because before all this damn dirty coronavirus crap was going around, our host, Ben Jarofsky, loved going to the movie theater. How are you feeling about going to a movie theater right now?
I'm working up to it. I really miss the movies. I miss the movies and I miss live jazz. And I'm working up, D, to going back to see movies in movie theaters and live jazz at various music venues. I'm working up to it, though. But I won't lie. I have this psychological obstacle. You know, I've been in my attic for so long. I know I'm not alone with this in the city of Chicago. And it's amazing, Dee. I was thinking about you this weekend.
Aww.
I was driving.
Me?
I was thinking about you because you're our downstate reporter. And as such, you've reported many times on the attitude that people downstate have toward masks. I'll never forget one of your first reportage from Alton, a gas station, in Alton or out. Every now and then I think of this and I just start laughing. So I'm going through Evanston, and folks, Evanston is the first. I mean, why am I explaining? It's been bred into me. You always explain something. Evanston is the first suburb north of Chicago. It's a very liberal town. Love Joe Biden in Evanston. And so anyway, everyone in Evanston is so dutiful, D. Everyone's wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. I mean, the CDC has said you don't have to wear your masks anymore if you've been immunized and you're outside. I got a feeling that a lot of these people wearing their masks have been immunized, but they're wearing them. I'm sorry. I'm going to wear my masks anyway. Good citizens in Evanston. So I'm going through Evanston. I'm looking at the good citizens, and I just flash back to your first reportage from Alton.
Oh, when someone called me a pussy.
Yeah, that's
for wearing my mask. Yes,
he's wearing a mask. This is what poor J.B. Pritzker's dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. Dennis gets out of his car to put the gas in the car or whatever. He's wearing a mask, dutifully wearing a mask, doing what he's supposed to do. Some guy walks by, hey, pussy. And I'm like,
yeah. I had like Gardettos and a fountain soda. Like, what are you talking about, pussy?
Well, I'm not a pussy. So I'm like, that's all one state, ladies and gentlemen. You got the people at Evanston or got the shot, immunized, and still wearing a mask outdoors, and then you had people down and on. Pussy. I'll get that COVID. I'll whoop COVID. Okay?
So are you going back to the theater or not?
Not quite there yet. Okay? I really want to see this Billy Crystal movie. I like Billy Crystal. Frank sent me a very funny, well, not funny, but it was a very revealing clip of Billy Crystal from, I don't know when it was, but imitating a black jazz singer in New Orleans totally would be unacceptable in this day and age. But I still like Billy Crystal. I still think he's pretty fun. I don't know if you're a Billy Crystal fan, D, but he's got a new movie with Tiffany Haddish, and I want to see it. So will I get the courage to go to the movie theaters to see that new Billy Crystal movie? I don't know, D.
And, you know, I know how this news works nowadays. We'll check back in a few months to see how you feel about Billy Crystal.
I plan to go to the Green Mill soon to see some jazz. So, yeah, I got to get out there, D. I got to overcome this.
I know.
This fear.
Yes, you
do. My buddy Udawak and I, we want to go out for pancakes at our favorite pancake restaurant. Norm and I are going to take a bike ride down to Promontory Point. We're talking about, you know, going to the House of Pancakes down there. Got to overcome it, D. Got to overcome it.
Now, as long as residents follow basic COVID-19 precautions from here on out and keep signing up for vaccinations and help stave off another spike of infections, hot damn, we'll be back to normal. Don't pay attention to what's happening in India. All of Pritzker's business restrictions will be lifted June 11th. Ben Jarofsky, we now go to you. For all of Illinois besides Chicago, the question, too soon, just in time, should have happened sooner. And shout out to all of our future Darren Bailey for governor voters, should never have been locked down to begin with. How you feeling?
I believe the time is right. But the reference to India was so important. We recorded an interview with Ramana Hussein. We talk a lot about what's happening in India. That's dropping tomorrow at 5 a.m., by the way. And D, it scares me. This is what's in the back of my mind. You know, people don't take the virus seriously. And again, David Brooks, I got to give the kid credit. I give the guy credit. I mean, he talks about all the excuses that people come up with as to why they're not going to get vaccinated. And I've heard so many incredible tales told by people why they're not getting vaccinated, D. Everything across the board that I just don't even want to share because they're so preposterous. My fear is that somebody might hear it, go, oh, it makes sense, and then not get vaccinated for it. So there's something about this virus that is bringing out the worst in human beings, in addition to tremendous valor and courage by frontline workers. I got to tip my hat to them. But so many other people, it just brings out their hatred for politicians of the other party, telling them what they have to do, their contempt for science and medicine. It just does not, we're not looking good when we emerge in this. And so many of the lessons of India, as Ramana breaks down, could apply to our country. So I think the time is right to open up, but I just hope that people get the vaccine, wear their masks, you know, like on an airplane. That in itself, D. You know what I'm saying? People are going to get some, I'm not wearing it. You can't make me wear it. You know what he talks about? The percentage of people, Brooks, again, give the guy credit, man, who don't wear seatbelts. I thought about this. We've mentioned this on the show. You must know people like this. I have friends who won't wear seatbelts. I'm not going to name their names. I want to embarrass them. But, you know, let's just say one of them is named Ed. Ed, why aren't you wearing? I think I just outed him.
Ed, come on, Ed.
He's a dear friend of mine. Hey, why aren't you wearing a seatbelt?
He was a dear friend of yours.
And Ed likes to go fast. You're in a car with that. Ed, you know, he's like, he thinks he's Steve McQueen when he gets behind that wheel. So, yeah, people don't wear seatbelts because I don't know what it's inconvenient to put it on.
It's manly. That constant dinging noise really does nip it at the bud. It's annoying.
Well, you put to get rid of the dinging noise, you put the seatbelt on.
I know.
I have a friend, not Ed, another friend, who, Keith, let's just say his name is Keith, who said, don't worry, the dinging noise will end in a little bit. I go, that's not the point. The point is the dinging noise is there to remind you to put the seatbelt on. Ugh. I don't like the seatbelt. I like to be able to move around in my seat. All right, geez. How about moving around your seat through the window? Do you like that? Through the windshield? Do you like that? Anyway, where was I, D? I forget where
I was. I did, too.
Yeah, I'll get back. Oh. I'll get back to the movies. And I really, This in the newspaper. You'll love this, D. The lineup for Ravinia, Dennis's favorite music venue.
Well, I'm getting older, so yes, more.
Pretty soon, you know you're old, D, when you see a group. Oh, I like this group. 50 Cent. Oh, yeah, he's coming. He actually was at Ravinia in 2019. The lineup came out. All these groups, people like 70 and 80.
Anyway, and we actually moved on from the theater question. But you say just in time. Just in time is your answer that I was asking there. Just in time. We're back on track. All right, now back to Mitchell Armantrout. The mayor's office said that the city is, quote, on course to move on Pritzker's bridge phase along with the rest of the state, but will stick to its own reopening timeline. A mayoral spokesperson said in an email, quote, while we have made significant progress and look forward to taking this step next week, we will only be able to fully reopen when we see continued improvement in COVID metrics and more widespread vaccine update. We call on Chicagoans to get vaccinated as soon as possible and to continue following the safety precautions so that we can experience all that Chicago has to offer this summer. Oh, you like that?
Oh, my God. You know, I have to admit, this idea that I'm about to articulate did not pop into my mind spontaneously when I read about Lori Lightfoot's insistence that Chicago have its own reopening date that's different than the state of Illinois. It was young Dennis who put this into my mind. Hey. And he already said it earlier in the show, but he pointed out, got to give him credit. Got to give you credit, D, when you're right. You're right. And you're right. That's my Jack Nicholson imitation, Chinatown. You're right. You're right. Curly, don't eat the vine.
Oh, hang tight, millennials.
I know everybody's, what is he doing now? Curly, don't eat the blinds. But it's so interesting. It's like, hold back, Chicago. Our scientists are still sifting through the numbers, and we're not ready to make an official pronouncement that it's safe to go out. But 2 months ago, to the teachers, get in that classroom, get in there now, shut up. And then they were like, they find these scientists that say, well, actually, we're giving you more room than you need. We could put more kids in the classroom. They always find these scientists because they had the social protocol for kids. I think it was like you couldn't get a kid within 6 feet. I don't know, something like that. And then they have these scientists. No, actually, it's safe at 3.5 feet. Let's cram more kids in there. Oh, so many mixed messages they're sending out. Get these kids back in a classroom. But now, D, it's a new message. A new week, a new message. Go to the classroom. Shut up, teachers. Do what we tell you. Be thankful that you have the job. But, oh, wait. Got to be very careful about allowing 12,000 people at Wrigley Field on a nice sunny day. Oh, keep it at 8,000. Yeah, yeah. Got to be careful about these things before we open up the parks fully for concerts, etc. But get in that classroom right now.
Now, Pritzker addressed the current bridge between he and the mayor, saying, quote, I know that the mayor has said July 4 is what she's aiming at. I'm sure that she's motivated to try to get there sooner, but this is where we can move to as a state. Still, the governor stressed it might not happen if people don't keep signing up for shots, saying, quote, this pandemic is not over, but if we're going to truly end it, we have to make sure that we don't see another surge in the virus. And the best way to do that is for everyone to get vaccinated.
Yeah. You know, I know you guys think I'm too nice to Pritzker, but I have such empathy for the guy. Dee, just think about Pritzker. Governor of the state of Illinois. He's got to deal with Darren Bailey, who doesn't believe in masks, you know, who thinks the whole thing's a hoax. He's got to deal with the anti-vaccine crowd, which apparently is a good chunk of the Republican Party. And then he's got to deal with Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who takes it to the next extreme. I will do what I want to do because it's my city and I'm the mayor of the city. And he has to come up with some kind of explanation to make it seem like I'm totally agreeing with her. She wants to do that. I'll do whatever she, you know what I mean? Oh, it sounds good to me, you know, because you got to send out that vibration that we're all on this same page. You know what I'm saying, D? Like we are total agreement. So he's got to deal with, just think about that, Lee. Just think about that. On one hand, DB, Darren Bailey. And on the other hand, Lori Lightfoot. That's not an easy job, D. That's just what I'm saying. It's not an easy job. So.
The enemy is you.
Oh, we were just nice to you.
The enemy. When did he say that? I can't remember. It just cracks me up every time I hear it.
Haters gonna hate. He was talking about the downstaters who were like, I ain't wearing this mask at all.
The enemy is you.
Watch your mouth.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.B. Pritzker has to deal with the guy who called Dennis a pussy at the gas station in Alton because he was wearing a mask.
And jury's still out. It may have been my brother. He was standing right there, too. It may have been him that called me. I don't know.
And it may have had nothing to do with the mask.
All right. On to the rest of the news in the city of Chicago. And on Monday, out of nowhere, Chicago Public Schools CEO Janice Jackson said, all right, that's it. I'm done. Announcing that she will become former Chicago Public Schools CEO Janice Jackson. She's resigning. According to the Sun-Times, Nadir Issa and Fran the Woman Spielman at an afternoon news conference in which she teared up at times, Janice Jackson said that she is, quote, both proud and humbled, and also a little bit tired, if she's being honest, adding that the top job at CPS, quote, was and still is her dream job. But then she said, you wake up. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who made clear Jackson could have stayed at CPS if she wanted, said that she was, quote, saddened by Jackson's decision to leave, but she also knows she always puts the most important things and values first, and that's her family. And Lightfoot said that she understands this decision and she supports it. Ben Jarofsky, I'm aware that I may be kidding myself here, but with the soon-to-be departure of Janice Jackson, is there any chance at all, that maybe this time around in their job search for a new CEO, that the CPS tries to find someone who could possibly, I don't know, build a better relationship between the CPS and the CTU?
That's a great question, and I think the answer is no. CPS, according to, of course, is Chicago Public Schools. CTU is Chicago Teachers Union. As such, the union that represents the people who work in the Chicago Public Schools. And for, I don't know, as long as I can remember. Well, no, that's not true. For the definitely for this last 10 years, this last decade, the attitude of the powers that be in the city of Chicago, corporate world, the editorial world, the civic world, and the political elite of the city, is that the Chicago Teachers Union, a bunch of radical thugs. They're a bunch of, like, commies. How dare they? And so every mayor started with Rahm, and Lori Lightfoot picked up on it. They hate the Chicago teacher. Bruce Rauner hated the Chicago Teachers Union. I hate him. The first time I ever saw Bruce Rauner, former Governor Bruce Rauner, was he was Citizen Rauner. You know, I vaguely heard about it. Folks, I didn't really know much about him. And he was on Dennis's favorite show, Chicago Tonight, WTTW.
Guilty.
Everybody's really civilized and everybody waits their turn without cutting anybody off. Not like when I went on Flannery's show, Mike Flannery with Greg Hines. Greg Hines kept cutting me off. Finally said, forget this. I'm going to start cutting you off. That's how you do a show, D. Just start yelling. You know, nobody can hear anything.
Anyway. Well, I was wondering why you didn't get invited back. I guess we know now.
Actually, Mike Flannery is very nice. He invited me back several times. It's just that every time he taped the show, I was doing my own. But anyway, putting that aside.
Wait, can we hear your Flannery impression real quick? Just real quick.
Willie Wilson. Willie.
I was so great. I was at yesterday. Dave Glowatz was on doing an incredible job as always, where he brings in the clips from the city council meeting, and in this case he had a press conference and some reporter is asking Mayor Lightfoot a question. I go, my God, that's Flannery.
Yeah, I heard it. Like, oh, yeah,
it was just so classic Flannery. Mike Flannery, good reporter. Anyway, yes, so it is a requirement that if you're going to be a good civic citizen of Chicago, you must despise the Chicago Teachers Union. And you must love teachers, though.
That's the thing. They always go, I love teachers. And yet that union, well, the union is filled with teachers. Yeah, I love an individual teacher. Maybe two teachers. But if you get more than 10 teachers in a room, can't stand them. In fact, Janice Jackson made a point in where the goodbye story that was in the Bright One, Chicago Sun-Times, which they love Janice Jackson, of saying, you know, I get emails all the time from teachers. They can't stand the union either. Nobody likes the union. I'm the only guy who likes the Chicago teachers. You ever think of that? It's one day Stacey Davis Gates is going to come on this show and blast the teachers union. I can't stand that union. I'll still be defending them. Stacey Davis Gates, folks, is the vice president of the union. It's a joke. Okay, forget it.
No, that was funny. That was good. That was good.
See, guys, that was the joke. See, it's so extreme. Everybody hates the teachers union that even the members of the teachers, the leaders of the teachers union hate him. One day, Stacey Davis Gates will come on. Forget. I'll stop beating that joke into the ground. Anyway, D, I got to share this lead with you from the Bright One. This is classic amnesia. Okay, classic amnesia in the city of Chicago. Here's the lead. Janice Jackson's unfinished business. Janice Jackson took the helm of the Chicago Public Schools at a time when it was, again, a mess. Her three predecessors had been pushed out. The latest scandal, the one before him, had been imprisoned. An educator worked her way up to the hometown school district. Jackson was tasked with stabilizing and restoring the public's confidence in the country's third largest school system. In other words, it was a shambles. Wait a minute. I thought the official position of Civic and Editorial Chicago is that our illustrious, brilliant mayors have done a great job of turning around the school system, and that we must allow our mayors to run the schools, because without our mayors, it would be what? Chaos? What would it be? Shambles? What were the latest things? Unstable? God, I'm like, where's Michael Girardi when you need him to write like a dark Warren Zevon-esque song satirizing how they say, open your mouth, Chicago. Got it open? I'm going to shovel some shit in there. Now swallow. Yeah. Every 5 years, the school system's in shambles, needs to be saved by some savior. Then when that savior leaves, they thank the savior. Savior's gone for like a month. And then all of a sudden, the school system's in shambles. We need another savior. And then when the lefties of town go, maybe we should have an elected school board, they go, how dare you even suggest it? This school system is running so well with our brilliant genius mayor. Open up your mouth. Here comes the shovel. Swallow. Hey, that should, Michael Girardi, just suggesting it. Open up your mouth and swallow. Could be a song. Get working on it. Get that guitar.
Well, all right, potty mouth. It's now prediction time. Is there anyone out there, any names at all, on who you think could take on the role as CPS CEO? Anybody out there?
Who could take on the role?
Who could? Who'd be good at it?
You know, let's bring Lovie Smith, who is the Bears coach.
Football.
He got along with everybody. You know, Paul Vallis ran it. He didn't know anything about education. What did Arne Duncan? Arne Duncan was the head of the school system, and then he ran the Department of Education. I don't think he was ever a teacher. Let's go try something different. Let's put Lovie Smith in charge. He got fired from his job as football coach at Champaign. I like Lovie. You like Lovie, D?
He's okay, I guess. Lovie?
You're still mad at him because they beat your beloved Cardinals. That's it. They beat your beloved Cardinals, and you still haven't gotten. Oh no! Yeah, they beat the Cardinals, wasn't it? Arizona.
The hell with them. Let's go Rams.
Oh, you're a Ram fan. Should be a Cardinal fan because they were St. Louis. Oh, but you weren't born.
Yeah, I wasn't born.
Let's just edit that out, D, when we do the podcast. Okay.
Will do. Will do.
But yeah, there you go. Someone different.
What about Troy the Ravier?
Oh, I love Troy. I think I suggested Troy to you earlier in the show. I mean, in our pre-show meeting. Yeah. Yes. I think Troy would do a great job.
I mean, he'd last what, like a week?
Yeah. First of all, in a million years, let's But by the way, all these, the talk of Janice Jackson and her legacy as she leaves, no one mentions that she fired Troy. No one mentions that she worked for Rahm. And they talk about how political the public schools are, how and how we must keep the city away from an elected school board because we don't want to politicize our schools. And they say this with a straight face. Like, sometimes, D, I can't, I'm like, do I live in this town? Do I, like, do people, am I seeing something that nobody else is seeing? You know, it's like, the school system, you want to prevent the school system from being politicized? The school system that's run by the mayor? The school system that's dedicated to the making the mayor look good? You don't want to politicize that school system? So, anyway, Janice Jackson was the, was she the CEO at the time? I can't remember. I think she was either the CEO or the number two, who was sent by Rahm to Blaine Elementary to tell the teachers and the parents and the community why they were firing Troy LaRabia. It's a good friend of this show, comes on all the time, outspoken critic of the way the schools were run, outspoken critic of the privatization deals, outspoken critic of firing good janitors and replacing them with janitorial services, talking about how filthy the schools were, talked about what a waste of money it was to give $20 million for a principal training program that most principals saw as fraudulent and a waste of time. And for speaking out about these matters, what do? They fired him. Well, but the school system, we cannot have an elected school board because that would politicize the school system. So, yeah, I think Troy would do would be a great CEO, but I don't think in the universe of Chicago they would ever hire anybody to be CEO who dared to speak up on behalf of children, parents, and teachers about the inequities of the school system. Yeah. You have to be a part of the school system to run the school system. You have to be part of the inequity and the wastefulness to get to continue being unfair and wasteful. Got it? So they're never going to admit. That'd be like if you said, Ben, why don't you be the head of this?
Well, coming up, you know, we got something planned here coming up. Don't worry. No, I can just see it. Mr. LaRavier, that was just a little too honest. We need you to lie a little bit more. Can you lie? I mean, that was great and honest and all that, but can you lie?
Yeah, Norm MacDonald would have a field day with the Chicago Public Schools. Can you lie a little bit?
We have more mayoral staff changes along with Janice Jackson. Sydney Roberts, chief administrator of the Civilian Office of Police Accountability, aka COPA, announced her resignation on Wednesday. Lightfoot has been openly critical of COPA and how long it has taken for investigations to be completed under Roberts' leadership. Ben, any parting words for Sydney Roberts?
You know, it kind of reminds us. There's always scapegoats in this town. I was reading that story. I don't follow the politics COPA on a regular basis like I follow the public schools. But, I read the newspapers and their accounts. And I was just like, wait a minute. You're critical of COPA because they took a long time on the Anjanette Young matter? And yet, how long did it take before they released the video of Adam Toledo? I don't get it, D. Rules for thee, not for me, in the city of Chicago. It's tough. It's tough being an appointee in this town because, by and large, if anything goes wrong, you're getting blamed for it. You know what I mean? Like, we may be getting into the tip of my hand here when we talk about Kim Fox, state's attorney Kim Fox. That's called, what is it called, D? Tip in my hand, but it's called something else in the radio business.
It's called the tease. Okay. Now, you've been doing this for years. I ain't going to forget tease. But that is coming up. That was a great tease. We're going to be talking about that. But hey, before we keep talking more resignations, it's not all gloom and doom here, all right? Because where one road ends, many more begin. Ben, we have two more brand new Lightfoot administration members to welcome on board. That's right. The mayor found some new hires. And for this news, we go to a brand new segment right here on the Ben Jarofsky Show, a segment where our host plays
a bit of an administrative role himself as he welcomes new staff members on to the Lori Lightfoot team. It's time for a quick round of what we call Ben Jarofsky, Mayoral Human Resources Director.
Ben Jarofsky, Mayoral Human Resources Manager.
Or manager.
That's pretty good.
You're now the HR for Lori Lightfoot, all right? So welcome aboard, Ben.
What's the guy's name in the office who's HR?
You! You know? Ben Jarofsky! Go along with the bit, for the love of God.
Okay, I'm trying to remember. I see his face, but I can't remember his name. Yes, I'm in charge of HR.
Welcome aboard, Ben! Now,
thank you. It's good to be aboard.
I will announce, thank you for playing along here. I will announce the new hire.
Toby is his name.
No, okay, Toby, yeah, but it's you for okay, the moment. All right, now you're going to play the role of a Lori Lightfoot Human Resources Director, and you're going to tell these new hires what to expect, all right? Oh. First up, we officially welcome Celia Meza. Meza had stepped in at an interim capacity for the past 5 months as the Corporation Counsel for the Chicago Department of Law. She is the first Latina to ever hold this position at City Hall. Ben Jarofsky, Mayoral Human Resources Director, officially welcome Celia on the team.
Welcome to this team, Celia. I'm going to give you some advice. I'm going to give... How many of these? There's two of them that I'm going to have to welcome to the team.
Yes. See, this is one of two.
Okay, one of two. So I'm going to give you a little advice, Celia. Advice number one, which it'll apply to our second candidate as well. The mayor is always right. Even when the mayor's wrong. Even if the mayor's saying something today that she completely contradicted with what she said the day before, doesn't matter. The mayor is always right. And to really understand and appreciate the relationship you should have with the mayor, I say you would study Republicans in Congress right now and see how they treat Donald Trump. No matter what he says, he's right. Even if he's wrong, he's right. Even if he made this up, even if it's all a big lie, he's right. So if you can act like a Republican, if you can act like a Republican in Congress, think Republican in Congress and Donald Trump, and just take that role and apply it to the mayor of the city of Chicago, you will go far. You will last for a long time. That's my advice, D.
All right. That is our new human resources guy for Mayor Lori Lightfoot. All right. It's time for new hire number two. Get in here. This is John O'Malley. John O'Malley is the new deputy mayor for public safety. He was a director of corporate security for William Blair & Company brokerage firm, a member of the Chicago Police Board, and a former U.S. Marshal. And according to Politico, well, he's already raising eyebrows for siding with police officers in some controversial cases, including the alleged Laquan McDonald cover-up. Ben Jarofsky, Mayoral Director of Human Resources, can we welcome John O'Malley to the team?
Yes. By the way, I would say I recommend folks reading the Tribune coverage of John O'Malley from a couple days ago. Brought out, went into further detail on all those points. But so... Mr. O'Malley, my advice to you is the same as for Cecilia in terms of the mayor always being right. But I will add this point, this little piece of advice. Whenever the mayor, you're in a conference with the mayor and she asks a question that requires you to offer an answer, I want you to think of the immortal words of former Senator First Lady Hillary Clinton. Always begin your answer by saying, good question, Mayor. Good question. Always praise the mayor for her questions. In fact, praise the mayor for her answers. Praise the mayor for her lovely attire. Praise the mayor. Just praise the mayor. As long as you praise the mayor, and say she's right, and tell her it's a good question. You'll go far in the city of Chicago.
You know, it sounds a little like sarcasm, but that is actually a very good point that you made.
How did you go from sharing stories over the years to deciding to write a book?
Good question, Mayor. Good question.
Like I said, sound a little bit like European wiseacre, but.
Good question, man.
Any other advice you'd like to give to John O'Malley?
Get the resume out, because if anything goes wrong, you're paying. I'll just give you two words for his advice. Eddie Johnson. Okay. Remember how much everybody loved Eddie Johnson?
All right. I'm starting to learn you're not a great human resources director. You're fired. And that was Ben Jarofsky, mayoral human resources manager.
Ben Jarofsky, mayoral human resources manager.
All right.
By the way, right now, the phone is ringing. You know who it is? WBEZ. They're like, my God, the production quality in this show is outstanding. Can we hire your production engineer? I'm going, you can't get him. I'm not letting him go. He's that good. Okay.
Once again, sounding like sarcasm, but very good point. I agree, sir. All right. Moving on. We have just one more resignation to discuss.
Yes,
we do. And I have a feeling this is only the beginning of this story. The following comes from the Sun-Times and Matthew Hendrickson. One of Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox's top prosecutors was forced to resign this week after an internal investigation revealed she did not review an in-court statement a fellow prosecutor made about 13-year-old Adam Toledo holding a gun before he was shot and killed by Chicago police in Little Village. First Assistant State's Attorney Jennifer Coleman, quote, traditionally would have reviewed any high-profile read in court by her underlings, but she didn't go over the one prosecutor James Murphy read in court on April 10th as he detailed the allegations against 21-year-old Ruben Roman. That's according to Fox and the Chicago Sun-Times. You're on me.
I don't want to repeat too much of what Ramona and I had to say. We took a deep dive on this on the show that's dropping tomorrow at 5. We took a pretty good deep dive on the whole Kim Fox saga. I went through an evolution with Kim Fox on Smollettgate. We spent a lot of time. Remember Andy Grimm coming on the show twice? Andy Grimm, by the way, president of my union. President Grimm, we call him. Former Sun-Times. I think he's coming back to the Sun-Times. He's on a leave of absence. For a long time, he was covering criminal courts, and he was the one who would come on and explain Smollettgate to us from start to finish. The guy knew more about it than anyone else, I think, in the world. And Ramana and I would talk about it on Fridays. And then so I went from being like a critic of Kim Fox to... Well, remember, I just sort of like, this is absurd, the amount of attention that we're dedicating to this case. It's like a carnival. It's become a farce. And then that was kind of where I was with Smollettgate. But this one, in my opinion, D, is worse than Smollettgate, because it has to do with the statement that the Cook County State's Attorney, Assistant State's Attorney, made in open court at a bond hearing regarding Roman, as Dee pointed out. And in that, he stipulated that Adam Toledo had a gun in his hand when the police shot him. And then, of course, we see the video, and he didn't literally have a gun in his hand at that moment. Troy LaRivière and I discussed this at length. You could hear that. Susanna Mendoza and I talked about it at length. You can hear that. Two contrasting opinions of what went down in that alley. Make up your mind. If it helps to have two different points of view. But the point is, he didn't have the gun in his hand at that time. So they had it wrong. So how in the world could the Cook County State's Attorney's Assistant State's Attorney have it wrong? He has the ability to see the video. We, the public, couldn't see the video, Dee. How was it? Like 3 weeks before they finally released it? Something like that. But they had, law enforcement had the video. And it's just like, they still got it wrong. And none of the explanations offered by State's Attorney Kim Fox as to why her official in court made a false assertion makes sense. And I don't understand why she didn't watch the video. I didn't understand why she didn't take charge at that moment, that critical moment, to assure us that everybody was on the same page in this very important case that the whole city was paying attention to. You know, Keith Ellison up in Minnesota took charge after George Floyd was murdered. Very soon, very shortly thereafter, you know, I'm in charge. My office is handling this. We're speaking with one voice. And so if you stumble out of the gates and give erroneous information, it just undercuts your office at every step of the way. And, you know, it's really distressful that after Smollettgate, we'd still be seeing stumbling going on with the state's attorney's office. And I think this is more serious, ultimately, than what went down with Jussie Smollett. Ultimately, with Jussie Smollett, I think it was an embarrassing moment where Kim Fox, you know, was helping out some clouded person. I don't know who it was. We'll never know, I guess, who was that dropped the dime and called her. But this is serious. This is life and death. A 13-year-old kid was killed. A cop's career and life is in balance as they wait for, you know, whether he gets indicted, goes to prison or whatever. And then we have to, or if he keeps on the job, then we have to deal with the credibility issue, and the fallout of that. It's really important you get it right. You know, it's not like me misspelling a name or not remembering T's. You know what I'm saying? It like really matters. Sorry, D. Went on that. But I said I wasn't going to repeat everything Ramon and I covered, and I kind of did because it's on my mind.
Well, be sure to check it out. It's going to be available at chicagoreader.com, wherever else you download your favorite podcasts. The Ramana Rundown, our weekly segment with Ramana Hussein. It's not going anywhere. It's still here. Shout out to Tina on the live stream chat. Ben, I know you like to give our guests homework assignments. We're going to throw it your way. Here's a homework assignment. All right. I'm not sure if you've seen this or not, but according to Tina, former U.S. Rep. Luis Gutierrez gave an interview and talked a little bit about Kim Fox on Democracy Now. Have you heard anything about this?
I've not heard that. Gutierrez has given several interviews. I've not seen the Democracy Now! One. I've heard it, but I'll check it out. I got to reach out to Luis Gutierrez. He's been on the show a few times. Has been on in a while. I've been meaning to do that. He had a press conference about the Toledo shooting. He gave an interview to Neil Steinberg in the Sun-Times. He's had a lot to say about it. Interesting. I always talk about this with, whenever I discuss the role that congressmen and congresswomen have with local politics. When they're in office, they tend to pretend as though they're not citizens of Chicago. They don't weigh in because they don't want to antagonize the mayor, the powers that be, or they don't want to antagonize their base that may be against the mayor, the powers that be. So they just kind of pretend as though they're not from Chicago. And it's interesting. Gutierrez, now that he's retired from Congress, 2 years now. God dang, D. It's been a while, huh? Sunrise, sunset. Wow. Anyway, now that he's no longer in Congress, feels free to speak out. So, yes, I have not seen that interview, but I'll check it out.
Yeah, we got to try to get old Louis back on the show. All right. Now, listeners, I know what you're wondering right now. Guys, any coverage on greasy politicians taking advantage of their power and or getting indicted? Well, it is Chicago. So, yeah, of course. And for that, we go to the latest Chicago Reader column from our very own Ben Jarofsky. It's available right now, chicagoreader.com. It's titled We're Number One. Ben, tell everybody about your column.
Well, I have a little fun with it. I guess, you know, at some point, you just have to sort of laugh at the absurdity of Chicago and all the corruption that we just take for granted in our city. So what triggered it, this particular column, was that in one day, two indictments. That's pretty good. One day, two indictments of aldermen. Patrick Daley Thompson, alderman of the 11th Ward, and he is nephew of a mayor and the grandson of another mayor. Oh, those Daleys. He's the last of the Daleys still as an elected official. And he was indicted in some really convoluted, complicated tale about a potential fraud, tax fraud. And I want to give a shout out to the Sun-Times, Tim Novak, who has really done yeoman's work on this story for a long time. And that same day, Rick Munoz, alderman, former alderman of the 22nd Ward, was indicted for allegedly stealing money from the Progressive Caucus Fund. Damn, doesn't get lower than that. Progressive, it's not like there's a lot of money that the progressives have. So we got a bunch of progressive aldermen, people who were willing to say they're progressives. Now everybody says they're progressive, so the word has no meaning anymore. But back then, during the Rahm years, it was pretty bold to be a progressive. As Rob Marbrick likes to point out, because of the progressives in the city council and the antagonism that Rahm had toward them, legislators in Springfield were afraid to call themselves progressives because they didn't want to get Rahm mad at them. Just think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Just this pause. Oh, my God. You talk about powerful mayors and the advice I gave as the imaginary HR guy. Just think about that. You get the mayor mad at you, you're in trouble. You go get your phone calls returned. You're not going to get services. Or he'll call you up and yell at you. Rahm would do that. So they didn't want to be called progressives. So anyway, you got these progressives, the Chicago City Council. Rick Munoz apparently lost control of his life and was stealing money from their coffers, that they their dues that they had kicked in. And it was really low. So anyway, I was reminiscing, D. Three indicted aldermen. Three aldermen who were facing charges, various criminal charges, were guests on First Tuesdays, the show that Mick Dumke and I hosted for many years at the Hideout. Now I host it with Maya. Can you name the three aldermen, Dr. D, for 10 trivia points? Go.
One, Nick Munoz. Right?
Yeah, Rick Munoz, yes.
Two, Solis.
Danny Solis, yes. And three.
I'm trying to act like we didn't do this before the show, but I honestly can't remember this third one. Who?
I'll tell you the hint, the same hint we did before the show. Think Nirvana.
Oh, my God. Joe Moreno.
Broco Joe Moreno used to come on the show and just extol the virtues of Nirvana and 90s rock music in general. Try to convince me, Ben, it's really a good era. Well, anyway. So yeah, he's got a lot of trouble, drunk driving rap. His life is really spiraled out. So yeah, all three of them were at one time or another guests at the Hideout show. And the Ramana Hussein loves to tease Mick and me. Why do the guys you like so much are so creepy and weird? Okay, they're the public officials. It's a show where we have public officials. Come on.
And like, hey, once you get to know Dennis, he's not that bad.
Touche. So anyway, the column has, I have a little fun with. Why do we keep electing corrupt officials? Why are officials, when they get in office, corrupt? They make a good chunk of change. An alderman makes over 100,000. I've never made over 100,000 in my whole life. I'm like 90. You know what I'm saying? Like 100,000, a lot of money. You know, you can have a nice life with 100,000. Why do you need to steal from the Progressive Caucus kitty? I don't know, D. What do I know?
It's the latest column.
Just a podcaster in my attic.
He knows a lot, and you should read his latest column if you haven't yet. It's the latest from Ben Jarofsky. We're number one, ChicagoReader.com. By the way, you can check out the archive of Ben Jarofsky articles as well. Turns out he's been doing this since the 80s. Holy Lord. All right. Anything else you'd like to say there about that column, Ben?
Read it. Get a chuckle. And if you're upset that we had all these sleazy politicians at First Tuesday, just remember this. I'm going to take a page from Lori Lightfoot. It was Mick Dumke's fault. By the way, Mick Dumke will be on the show Tuesday. Mick will be here Tuesday. Love doing the deep dive with Mick. Two political geeks. We will be geeky.
Say that again. My Lord, it gets geeky. All right, we're going to do one more story here. We're going to end it out with a little local story. The following comes from the Associated Press. We don't really read stories from the Associated Press. What do you think about the Associated Press, Ben?
I love it. Actually, really? The Associated Press, yeah. I'm going to make a revelation here on the Ben Jarofsky Show. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. My morning ritual as I'm lying in bed on my phone, this is embarrassing. I now have the Washington Post, the New York Times, and AP. I subscribe to AP. And so I'll be reading their posting. They're really good. I'm impressed. I trust them. You know what I'm saying, D? It's like, yeah, I got a feeling these are really competent reporters who got it right. So anyway, a testimonial to the Associated Press. Every morning I read their AP. They have like 10 stories of the day, national and international.
All right, and this Associated Press story, well, the local news has gone national. Republican Illinois Representative Adam Kinzinger. Boy, you sure are a weird bird. The headline reads, Kinzinger goes to Texas in search of anti-Trump Republicans. We've been following Adam Kinzinger's journey, I guess you can call it, for the past few months now. Ben, for those who may be unaware, coach us up here on Adam Kinzinger and exactly what he's trying to do.
Well, Adam Kinzinger, of course, is the Republican congressman from the 16th Congressional District in the state of Illinois. And as such, he, with Liz Cheney and a couple of others, are one of the few Republicans willing to criticize Donald John Trump. Dennis is very suspicious of him for that reason, thinks he's up to no good. I, on the other hand, tend to give him the benefit of the doubt. I appreciate any Republican who will stand up to Donald Trump and Trumpism. Heidi Henry, dear friend of this show, great New Deal Democrat from the 16th Congressional District, always tells me, Ben, you're too easy on Adam Kinzinger. You're too easy on the guy, all right? Be harder on him. And I'm like, Heidi, I mean, come on. Look at the rest of these Republicans. They're such liars and cowards. Anyway, I struggle with this. I struggle with this, D. It's like when I say something nice about Liz Cheney. You know, I'm like, how can I say anything nice about a Cheney? Vice, what a great movie. But anyway, Adam Kinzinger, yeah, I don't know what he was doing in Texas. I missed that story. You're the one who told me about it. Like he's searching for it. So that's how far you have to go. You gotta go all the way down to Texas. I don't. What makes you think there's gonna be a Republican in Texas? Good God!
I mean, there's Austin, but I mean, like that's pretty lefty, Austin, right?
Yeah, but there's no Republicans there. That's going like going to Chicago to find a Republican that'll say something bad about Trump. You'll find a lot of people that say something bad about Trump in Chicago, but none of them are Republicans.
All right. Let's read this Associated Press. Like,
hipster town.
Let's read this Associated Press piece here. This comes from Steve Peoples and Paul Weber. Adam Kinzinger came to Texas this week to hunt unicorns, it says. The Illinois congressman was looking for Republicans who, like him, see former President Donald Trump as a scourge on their party and a threat to democracy. Kinzinger met privately with one sympathetic Republican former president, George W. Bush. Ben, you have an impression of George W. Bush, don't you?
Do I? No,
I guess not.
I'm going into Flannery.
No, that was not good. All right. Yeah. Well, he met with George W. Bush on his first day in the state. And on the second, he had lunch with Michael Wood, the only openly anti-Trump Republican competing on Saturday in a crowded special election for a seat in Congress. Adam Kinzinger. Ben, do you know how old Adam Kinzinger is? Any guess?
42.
He's 43 years old. Wow. Kinzinger, a 43-year-old Air Force pilot who flew missions in Iraq and Afghanistan, is positioning himself as a leading antagonist to Trump. Yada, yada. Ben just mentioned all that. Kinzinger's hope lies in Wood, another fresh-faced combat veteran who is fighting to stand out in a field of 23. If wow. none of the candidates on Saturday's ballot earns 50% of the vote, the top two will compete in a runoff election later in the spring. So, your thoughts here on the latest endeavors of one Adam Kinzinger, and I've been saying it the whole time. I think he's smoking some of that legal reefer.
Well, nothing wrong with that. It is legal, and I wish Joe Biden the one area that I'm most disappointed of, most disappointed with Joe Biden is his bizarre opposition to legalizing marijuana on a federal level. That's a whole other story. I love Joe Biden on pretty much everything else at the moment. But now, having heard that, D, yeah, he's in there to campaign for Wood in the with the idea that he can use his celebrity to get support from. I didn't realize that angle of the story, so that does make sense. So it's like all the anti-Trump Republicans are like looking out for each other. And the problem is there's not a lot of anti-Trump Republican voters. Republicans voters love Donnie Trump. I think his approval rating among Republicans is at least 80%. It sort of varies from poll to poll. Either way, 80, 90%. You're going uphill when you try to find Republican voters to go against Trump. But we always point this out. We talk about a Republican primary. And can a anti-Trumper win in a Republican primary? And the point we always make is, yes, they can if there are enough MAGA candidates in the race. So here in Illinois, when we think about the gubernatorial contest for the right to run against J.B. Pritzker, Kinzinger sort of let his name be floated out for that. We were adding up how many MAGA candidates are there. So, D, let's see if I could do this without prep. Big boy Darren Bailey's running. That's one MAGA. Curly or Moe or Shemp. I had to go through all the Three Stooges to get to Shemp is running. That's two MAGA.
Paul Shemp.
Shemp, yeah. And then, oh boy, I know, in my mind, he's like Shemp from the Three Stooges. That's the only way I can remember. And then the concrete salesman.
The parking lot prodigy, Gary Rabin.
Damn, you're good. Gary Rabin. So that's three MAGA in the race. And so if Kinzinger gets it, I think you need one more MAGA guy. Adam, I'm just saying, need one more. Got to get four MAGA people in there. And you, Jeannie Ives, can you get in there? Hop in there? Then you got a chance. If you get 23, you're golden. Can we get, maybe get Blagojevich to run? I know it's illegal. Yeah. All my constitutional scholars out there, Ben, it's illegal. So have them run anyway. Take them to court.
There you are, everybody. That was, oh, what a week it was. Brought to you by Resignations. Remember, you can download previous Ben Jarofsky shows, Benny J. bonus interviews, and so much more. ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky or wherever else you download podcasts. We do have some brand new Benny J. bonus interviews for you to check out this weekend. Make sure you go check those out, both ChicagoReader.com and wherever else you download podcasts. We would love for you to reach out to us, BennyJShow@gmail.com. BennyJ, the letter J, show at gmail.com. Send us an email. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, want to troll us, we're fine with that. That's cool. Just send us an email. You can reach us online at BennyJShow, BennyJ, the letter J, show. And you can call this show. It's true. 708-658-4788. The number again, 708-658-4788. Reach out to the Ben Jarofsky Show. We would love to hear from you. And remember, if you want to help out the program, you can become a Benhead. That's what we call avid listeners of this show. ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. You can either be in the alley, the avenue, or live large on Benny Boulevard. And he has a book as well. It's his greatest hits, a collection of Chicago Reader columns from our very own Ben Jarofsky. We'll see everybody next week.
All right. Very good. And I just want to say, busy week of the Ben Jarofsky Show. If you haven't heard the interview, Stacey Davis Gates from Tuesday. And we had all five Democratic Socialist aldermen.
Yeah, top-notch interviews this week. We were with those aldermen. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah, all five of them, and they shared the mic, as socialists will do. They will share the mic. And Dave Glowatz was in yesterday going down through the city council news. So very busy week in the Ben Jarofsky Show. And let's give a shout-out to the man, the myth, the legend who made it all possible, the pride and joy of all in Illinois, without whom this show would be possible. And as Stacey Davis Gates will tell you, as Dave Glowatz will tell you, as all five Democratic socialists in the Chicago City Council will tell you, back home in Alton, they call him Dr. D. Give yourself a raise, take it out of petty cash. Have a great weekend, everybody.
How did you go from sharing stories over the years to deciding to write a book?
Good question, Mayor. Good question.
The enemy is you.
How did you?
The enemy is you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.